Hey guys, this is Kirk Smith. I will be performing in Palo Alto at Sophia University on February 20th at 7 p.m. I'll be bringing my one-man show that just premiered at the Perth Fringe Comedy Festival in beautiful Australia. 50% of the ticket proceeds of the door will be donated to local participating autism nonprofits. It's going to be a great show, and I hope to see you guys there. Thanks, and enjoy this week's episode of Autastic.
You ready? 3, 2, 1. I can edit that.
Leave it in, buddy.
Welcome to this week's episode of Autastic.
Yeah.
My name is Kirk Smith, and this here is...
Oh, I'm Graham Kay.
Graham Kay, yeah.
He pointed at me, by the way, everybody.
For those of you who can't see us on this radio program, I did
it's
point.
It's not even a radio. It's a podcast.
It's like radio for us old people.
You're supposed to know that.
That's how I describe it. I describe it like radio on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense.
To yourself. That's what he writes on his calendar. Record radio on computer with Graham today.
For science.
Yeah.
This is a podcast.
When I showed up today at Kirk's house, he was shining his shoes.
That's true.
He's just doing a bunch of old man stuff today.
I'm cleaning the chimney,
mm-hmm.
shining my shoes,
mm-hmm.
just making sure everything's in order. Have you polished your compass? Yeah, this is a podcast about autism called Autastic. It is not science. It is two comedians talking about their connection to autism. I have a severely autistic 17-year-old son, and Graham here's... tell about your brother, Graham.
Well, I have an autistic brother.
That's true.
There you go.
He was like 30. So my son and your brother are like on different paths because different levels of severity, different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just two comedians' perspective on... what it's like and how we see it.
Yep.
The first segment we always do is week in review. How'd your week go today this week, Graham?
Well, thanks for asking, Kirk.
Seamless.
I had a very interesting week. A lot of you out there might be interested to know that there's a Broadway play that I think we've talked about a couple times.
Two episodes ago, I think we talked about.
Yeah. Curious Case of the Dog in the Night.
Yeah.
And most of you, I'm sure a lot of you have read the book.
Great book.
I read it like 10 years ago.
I read it a long time ago, 6, 7 years ago. Yeah.
Didn't really remember it. And I was in New York doing shows. And so I was like, well, let me go see this play. And it has a bunch of, I think it won a Tony for best play. What I like about this play, several things. First off, it was not a musical, so that's pretty awesome.
I can tell we're both high society when our definition is, I like it when they don't break out to dance and song.
Well, just, I think it is high society. A musical is like, come on, man.
I get it. I'm the same way. You don't break into song when you're building something. What are you, a weirdo? Like, you're just painting walls. I like to paint the walls at night. Like,
yes.
What are you doing? Nobody does that.
It would be not only offensive to the ears, but to my sensibilities.
Of logic. I agree.
If it was an autistic musical, that would just be the worst... thing, so offensive on so many levels.
For my son, it would be the intro to Bob the Builder 17 times in a row.
Just keep looping
just
the intro.
Looping. He loves the intro. He doesn't want the whole thing. He wants just the intro.
Yeah, this again, autistic musical is just a whole
again,
bunch of chorus.
And again.
Get ready for this chorus. Yeah, it's a very good play. Man, it's good. It really helps you understand, even if you don't have an autistic loved one, it obviously helps you understand what it would be like to have a family member, or more so to be an autistic person or a person who has autism, and as somebody whose brother is autistic. Or who is a person who has autism? I'll get it right one day. I'm just gonna say it both ways.
Well, because we do have people that disagree about that.
Yeah,
we can get into that later. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, so it helped me understand what my father was going through.
Right.
Because the way they write the dad is so well, it's so great. You know, it's just what's really great about this play is it does a very good job of letting you into the mind of the protagonist, who is a 14-year-old boy.
On the spectrum.
On the spectrum. In terms of functionality, how high functioning it would be, I'd put him at a 6.
He was definitely higher functioning than my son.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. For sure.
Yeah.
But like things like the way that they will, I actually took pictures of it, of what the stage looks like. We'll post them on our Facebook page. And the setup is really interesting because when he gets sensory overload, you as an audience also get a sensory overload.
That's the part I liked. You were telling me about that.
Yeah, like a lot of, there's like, you know, a lot of bright lights and
Sounds really loud.
Sounds loud, and there's shouting, and then you know the whole stage, the three walls and the floor are all sort of a screen that's connected, and so you get like a lot of visuals and stuff like that, and numbers flying at you, and it just seems like it'd be really frustrating to go to a train station if you were autistic.
Right.
You know, somebody can tell you that, you know,
right,
it sucks. But when you sort of see it, you're like, man,
yeah.
I kind of get it more.
And it engaged two or three of your senses. I remember you saying, yeah.
Yeah, it did. It did. And
it was overwhelming visually, overwhelming auditorily. Is it auditory? Auditory? Yeah. Yeah, I get it. That's awesome.
Sonically?
Sonic? I think that's the same word. Yeah. Mm. Love that place. Slurpees.
but it's a great story.
That's
it's
great.
Entertaining, and it's not too heavy.
Yeah.
It's funny. The actor who plays the boy with autism is fantastic. It's not embarrassing or rude the way he portrays somebody with autism. There's a lot of dignity to the character, and he's very, very bright. It does a great job of showing his perspective on things and why he's and how he's smart.
Right.
What his skills are. I don't know. Also, it's in a very pretty theater. It's Drew Barrymore's grandfather. It's named after, or grandmother, I think. The Barrymore Theater. It's absolutely beautiful. And
I don't think I've ever been. I think I've done two or three. Speaking of musicals, Les Mis, I give it a pass. I really like this. I like that musical a lot. So they can sing if they want.
That's a great. You know, that's a great play about a autistic person.
I don't know if you remember this, but this was like 2 weeks ago. This really isn't in our news, although it's in the news. But there was a kid with autism who disrupted the performance of A King and I, and the lead went out of his way afterwards on Twitter.
We've talked about this.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm drawing a total mental blank. Yeah, to defend this kid. Yeah. That just made me think of that.
Yeah, no, totally. And I would...
We can edit that part out, too.
No. It's good. It's good. Why don't you set it up again?
Okay, so if you haven't heard our last episode, something's wrong with my brain because I can't remember. Okay,
set it up clean, and then we'll transition into it.
Okay,
it's a good point.
So a few weeks ago, there's a revival on Broadway of The King and I, and there was a
If you don't remember from when we talked about it a few episodes ago,
a few episodes ago, and there was a child who disrupted a matinee performance. You know, and this show was available to all ages. It was like a family friendly show, so it's one of the shows you could take kids to, and you know, you paid your ticket. And so the lead, Kevin Moon Low, wrote on his Facebook afterwards defending the mom and the kid. You know, he's like, this, you don't know the situation. His mom, you know, wants to go to the theater. She went to the theater. She went to matinee. She went to a kid-friendly show. She went to, you know, she did all the things right. She can't predict that her kid's going to have a kind of an intense moment during a rather intense part of the play, which is the whipping scene. And you could hear a kid yelling because it's, you know, it sounded like it's an intense scene where someone's being whipped. And so then the kid reacts to it, obviously. And then I guess some of the people were upset with the mom, but the guy went out of his way to defend it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And it is. I'd be holding in my my screams, you know?
Yeah.
I can only, now after seeing A Curious Case of the Dog in the Night, you sort of understand, I can imagine what he was feeling more. What this autistic boy in this other play was feeling more when he's seeing the whipping. That's what that's one of the reasons why it's such a fantastic experience.
Anything that puts you in the shoes of somebody else that that's hard to normally do. It's I applaud art where it's like it's a chance to for you to see the world through somebody else's perspective, and it's hard to do sometimes, you know, whether it's race or it's a number of things. Like as a middle-aged, whatever, white guy, if you're like, it's hard to put yourself sometimes in other people's shoes and understand exactly what they're going through.
Yeah, it's harder as a middle-aged white guy.
Well, when people go, I'm always hesitant to criticize when people go, you don't know what it's like to be, whatever, a minority, this, that. It's probably true. So I'm like,
You do? You lived in, you were a minority.
I do, because I was a minority in South America, where you're like, yeah, I feel like, you know, they called you colored and all sorts of goofy stuff. White people were colored because you had no color. They call you colorado. But in general...
Translucito. That's
transparente.
Yeah.
It's original transparent.
I think one of the other things, like I mentioned before, that was really special about this play is I got to feel like what my dad was going through, how frustrating it was. And one of the, if you don't remember from the book or if you've never read the book, this isn't necessarily a spoiler, but it's how... like the mother had a lot of difficulty.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard to deal. Well, it is sort of a spoiler alert, so just be aware. Fast forward 30 seconds. But for the mother had a lot of trouble and had to. She had to leave. She couldn't take it.
Yeah.
You know. And I mean, I think that's horrible, but it's just a fact that it does happen with a lot of autistic families. People crack. They can't take it.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of talking about her side as well. A lot of half the play is about the parents, and they throw a good amount of humor in there, and it's not making fun of anybody. So it's not a depressing play. It's like a fun play.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're starting like a book review list for our podcast. So number one book we've recommended so far.
No, number one book review. We haven't discussed this, and I don't know why you would just say that without.
We're on the fly.
No, we have to discuss. Our number one is Rice Krispies with Ketchup.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. That's a fantastic book about a father raising an autistic son. Real life stories. Very funny.
It's not a cookbook.
There's a few spelling mistakes in there, which is impressive for a book that's been published. But Kirk Smythe, I think, is the author.
That's the German pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a fantastic book. Totally recommend it. You can find it on Amazon. And if you haven't figured it out, it's Kirk's book.
I don't know what to say at this part. We hadn't structured this part.
My mom loved it.
Did she like it? I sent that to her. I can't remember if she got it or not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She highlight the spelling mistakes? Did she circle in red? Or?
There's no spelling mistakes.
Was your mom an educator? I can't remember what you told me.
My mother was one step below the vice president of the Canadian Post Office. I don't know what position that is.
I think it's called vice president.
One step below vice president.
Vice?
Yeah. Attorney.
I'm not a scientist. Yeah.
My mom, I don't know. She's like a
cool,
you know, businesswoman.
Postmaster General Junior.
Yeah. My mom had a secretary.
That's awesome.
Like Mad Men.
Yeah. That booze hidden in her desk drawer.
So come home, be real fiery. Well,
that's great. I'm glad she liked it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to this. So I think I feel like we have a lot of listeners who are not, don't have a connection to autism, kind of listen to this for just to be educated or whatever, or listen in. So I think that book is one that I'd really recommend. The Curious Case of the Sound of the... What is it? Tell me.
Curious Case of the Dog in the Night.
Yeah.
Very good book. And if you haven't read it, definitely read it.
I think it's worth it.
Ooh, definitely. It's good. Well, I remember enjoying it.
That was great, dude. That was great in the news. That's great. Mm-hmm.
That was a week in review, bud.
Week in review. Should we do it in the news?
Yeah, we should do in the news.
I feel like my mood's good. My brain's not here, but my mood's terrific.
You look great. You look great. Got a great full head of hair.
It could be somebody's arm candy. Just dumb arm candy. Just stand there and look pretty. Oh my goodness, my life's falling apart. No, it's good. It's going to work out. It's going to be good.
Your life's not falling apart.
No, I'm joking. Of course it's not.
Well, All right, let's do in the news.
In the news?
Yes.
This is a article in the Wall Street Journal from January 25th.
A reputable news source.
Very reputable. It's my brother's favorite. He happens to be a very successful
businessman.
Money person, yeah. So he likes the journal. Chinese scientists create monkeys carrying autism-related genes. Now, basically, the subtitle is genetic engineers in Shanghai say research is to help them identify brain malfunctions in humans. And they basically inject human DNA into these monkeys, and they're trying to recreate autism.
And then these monkeys have babies who end up being or exhibiting traits that are similar to autism.
Yeah, they inject the genes into the eggs, put the eggs into the female monkeys. The female monkeys have babies, and now they've got two generations. Those babies have babies. So now they're examining two, which, and the genes...
Do the autistic babies have other autistic babies? Is that what that means? Two generations?
Uh-huh. That's what it says.
Do autistic people who are humans, who have children, have autistic babies?
I don't know.
That's a real...
Well, if you're likely... So statistically, if you have one autistic kid...
Yes.
You're likely to have a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, if I had one of my kid's mom, then if we had a third kid, statistically, we'd have a much higher chance of having an autistic kid versus just a regular couple, a different couple, or even either of us with somebody else, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But... So yeah, I'm sure if we can recreate the genetics to have another one, then I'd imagine it stands to reason that the kids could do it too, right? I think that seems logical.
Yes, I agree with
whatever's
that.
Whatever's in my son, if he had another one, it could, yeah.
I think we're now officially scientists. We can,
is this it?
We can begin our podcast differently. Man.
I've been wanting to wear that butcher's coat for a long time.
Yeah, that's great, man.
So I think it's interesting. Yeah, they inject MEC... P2.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't P.
That's the one.
It wasn't P1.
Oh, we're not scientists.
So basically, these primates were, this is in China?
Yeah, Shanghai, yeah.
And they were subsidized by, MIT was also
MIT did an article about this
did
too,
article
yeah.
it as well.
Yeah.
So it's like reputable. It's like this is happening in China, and these monkeys are exhibiting a lot of traits, like they were running around in their cages, which, they're monkeys.
I know. Some of the things...
They're caged animals.
Some of the things they say, I'm like, I don't even know. One of them was like, the monkeys don't... So it was in the MIT's technology review as well, the article was. And it says... Okay, a couple of things made me laugh. One of them was... If you look these monkeys in the eye, it makes them uncomfortable. And I was like, well, it could be because they're monkeys.
I like the idea that there's a guy, it's just a guy in a lab coat, just staring at monkeys. All right, Jim, you go in there and you grill these monkeys. You just
see if they're comfortable with you staring them in the eyes, Jim. If that makes them uncomfortable, they look away.
Yeah,
it's very weird. That's like
this monkey's autistic. He won't look at me.
He won't make eye. Maybe you're scaring the monkey.
Yeah, maybe it's a monkey and you're a guy. How about that?
And he's running around his cage. He is a caged animal.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. It's interesting though. I think I think people have different ideas about. Testing on animals, but I feel like they also use monkeys a lot to test for Parkinson's, right? That's like a thing they're doing now where they try to create Parkinson's in order to cure Parkinson's, and I think that's good. I think you have to, I think it's obviously sad, but at the same time, I think it's,
I don't know, I think it's worth it, because these, it's saving a lot of people. Also, these animals would not have been alive in the first place, had they not been...
They're breeding them, yeah.
Breeding them for these specific tests. And it's not like a guy staring at you is torture. It's just weird. Uncomfortable. I understand.
It's like having an office job.
You said this off air. Yeah. You said this off air. It's like, it's not like they're putting shampoo on them, testing shampoo.
Yeah, I understand when people feel weird about putting shampoo in monkeys' eyes and seeing, does that bother you, monkey?
Yeah, that's bad.
But this is, Parkinson's, and these are serious... ailments that if you could find a cure, it'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You can shampoo in your eye. Hey, is that sting?
Attempts of staring at monkeys, the non-autistic monkeys.
They're playing, they're having a staring contest. Really connected. See who blinks first.
So I guess the big question is, what does this mean? What's the point of all this research?
I think they're trying to find at least the cause of autism. There's no cure. There's no cause. Nobody knows the cause, right? So the numbers are exploding over the last 25, 30 years. And
right. It would make sense that if you find the cause, you will eventually find the cure.
Or at least, if not to cure, you know, I know there's some sensitive issues around curing people that are currently autistic, but if a proximity to refinery means that you might be have an autistic child, like what does that mean? Is there what specific chemicals are causing it, and what can we do about this?
Yeah, well, apparently the Chinese have figured out that it's BPPP2, MP, whatever it was.
Well, that's one of the genes, right?
Yeah. Watch out for that one, guys. If you live anywhere near MPCP2P2,
okay, that's a gene, right? Q. You know that, right? Okay.
P2. Then get out of there.
We all have that gene in our body. It's a gene.
Oh no, we're all doomed. No, we're not, because being autistic is great.
Yeah, we're all
so
fine.
It's fine.
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. Anyway. So what was I going to say? So that's very, very interesting. That's the biggest breakthrough that I, in recent memory, in the scientific community concerning eventually finding. It's a hot lead.
It's a hot lead. It sounds fake, but it's like in very reputable newspapers.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound. It just sounds like
the headline: Chinese scientists create monkeys carrying autism. That sounds super fake.
The implication that the Chinese is part of a joke is offensive. Well, you really are from Texas.
No, it's not that. It's that.
I'm kidding. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Research overseas sometimes isn't under the same. It doesn't seem like it's under the same peer-reviewed pressures that it is in the West.
Right.
That's all I meant.
No, that is a completely unsubstantiated but probably valid.
Well, no, not just West. Like, I would trust Singapore more than Shanghai. Anyway, sure. We're getting the whole thing, but yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, it is under the
auspices of an open
country. Chinese Iron Curtain.
Yeah.
So, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, but the best part about this whole thing, guys, if nothing comes of it, at least you know a guy in a lab coat had a staring competition with a monkey. That was part of his job.
That was...
And that might have gone on for weeks.
That's on his resume.
That was.
Skills, monkey staring. I don't want to brag, but I'm one of the best monkey starers in the whole complex.
In the game. So, I know when they don't like looking at people. And I don't know. You just look.
I don't want to brag, but monkeys are uncomfortable when I look at them.
Google the. We will post it on our Facebook page. A link to this article, and they have it looks like a GIF of just a monkey running around his cage, and it's like, see, he's autistic. He's running around his cage.
Could be a trapped monkey who just get out.
Could be a wild animal in a cage. But. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe this is all true, and you know, we're one step closer, which would be.
Well, I think it's interesting, at least at the very least, to see the connection of genetics to autism.
Yes,
I know. I'm curious, as a father, is that an autistic son?
You have yes, with good reason. If you have an autistic offspring, you are more likely, specifically, to have. Another autistic child. So
statistically, yeah.
As a man who's still young, you know, there's something that you have to think about for the future. This research could directly change your life in maybe 5 years if they figure it out. So I mean, is that something you think about often? That was a big sigh, and don't edit that sigh out, because that was a real... answered my question with...
I didn't even realize I was sighing that time. Dang it. That's a tough call. It's a tough call. I like kids. I like kids a lot. I always thought I would have like 5 kids or like 4, because I was from a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought I'd have at least a basketball team.
Yeah.
At least four boys to play with. Yeah. I can still ball a little bit.
Girls, too. They can play.
Yeah. My daughter, I've tried and tried to teach her. Not interested. She'd rather read about it.
That's fine.
But, yeah, it's totally fine. She's a great kid.
Really?
And some girls are very athletic. That's true.
A lot of girls. Yeah, all the athletic ones. Yeah, all the ones playing all those pro sports are pretty good, getting scholarships.
They're excellent.
And who show up to the pickup basketball games in the city and are in great shape and currently playing college basketball and schooling me.
They can play.
I don't appreciate that. I don't like being beat with somebody who has pressed on eyelashes.
That's funny.
And convincingly.
Convincingly.
That's my problem. You don't like my it. That's my sexist issue.
You don't like it when she blows by you and then winks at you as she's going to the hole? Yeah, I get
just
it.
Just a beautiful wink.
Just and a you're beautiful like, oh, wink no. And a wisp of hair. You catch a little perfume. Dang, she's fast.
God. She'd have a better vertical than me.
That's a complicated one. I don't know. It's having kids again. I don't know if it's hard. Yeah, it's something I do think about. That if I have kids again, statistically, there's a chance that, yeah, I could be autistic. And it's, I love my son. I wouldn't change him. I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't turn him in for a new one. But it's a lot.
Yeah, no one's saying that.
It's a lot, dude. It's a lot.
It's just a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just, you know, you're, no matter what job you have, it would be stressful. But you're a comedian. That's doubly stressful. And
like if you're in entertainment and you're rich, like everybody talks about Jenny McCartney. How do you say her name?
McCarthy.
That's a different experience when you hire.
Kirk is just not good with names.
When you hire around the clock care, that's true. There's a lot of things I'm not good at.
Yeah. Well, you're a very good speaker.
When
you're completely bilingual and just last names just throw you.
No,
throw
just
you right
American
off.
Last names. Mm-hmm. Latino last names are very simple.
Okay.
Lopez Perez Jimenez Gutierrez.
Or as I call them, Latinos. Lopez Jimenez.
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 That's silly.
I really like, there is like no Latino people in Canada. We're trying to get some. And we have everything else. Everything else.
You have a lot of Asians.
We have a lot of Asians.
Yeah, from India too.
And a lot of Indians.
Southeast Asians and Northern Asians.
A lot of Africans.
Yep.
A lot of, surprisingly enough, you wouldn't think it, but in Toronto specifically, a lot of Jamaicans.
Yeah, I think one of our buddies is from a Jamaican part of town. He's telling us, yeah.
Yeah.
Edmundo.
Yeah. But not a lot of Latinos, Latinas, and either, really. There was a Mexican guy at my high school, and his name was Jimenez. And I'd always be like, hey, Jimenez, Sammy Jimenez. He's like, it's Jimenez, man.
I love that.
He's Jimenez.
Jimenez.
Jimenez. Anyway, that was me being a racist as a child, maybe.
Well, it depends. If you just don't know how to pronounce it, then I think that's just being simple.
I didn't know maybe the first or second time, but I loved how much it pissed him off. That was another year of Jaime. Come old Jaime over here. He's him on his, man.
He
made all right, Jaime.
That's probably racist.
Oh, yeah. And so was that accent I did.
Probably.
Yeah. That can't be right. Didn't feel right.
That can't be right.
No.
We can edit it out in post.
Yeah, it's fine.
But we won't.
No. So that's sort of a topic du jour that we sort of segued into. Before the racism, basically that the weight of not knowing what causes it really affects parents and potential parents' future decisions. It's a real gamble. You know, you want to have more kids. Maybe you have your first kid's autistic. You're like, well, I love my autistic child, my child who has autism. I would like to maybe experience one that doesn't as well.
Right.
You know, and then I know from my brother Peter's group that there was at least two parents, groups of parents who did that. They were like, well, let's try again. And they end up having another autistic kid. And they're like, well, okay, well, this is it. That's great. But I don't have the time to take care of three autistic kids.
Right.
You know, so
it's a big time commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're out trying to get shows, it's very time consuming being a comedian unless you're Jerry Seinfeld and people are like, do you want
to? At the top, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Do you want me to write this for 6 or 7 million?
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you want this check for? That's a different experience.
It's very doable, but it's time consuming and you can definitely have kids. It's just very difficult if you have, as you know,
yep.
an autistic child with autism. I just said I covered all my bases by saying an autistic child with autism. Now you, that is bulletproof right there.
You're making both sides angry. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Whose joke is that? That has a joke about I'm half black, half white. That way they'll both both sides will love me.
That's funny. I think that about wraps it up for the, for today.
I think that's I think we did it.
I think
it's
we did
another,
it.
Another little episode here. Yeah. It's,
yeah, we had fun.
Kind of a little longer one, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I hope you guys had fun. Thanks very much for listening as always. We're going to do our spiel again. If you're a subscriber, you can just stop it now. But if you are not a subscriber, please subscribe to us on iTunes and look for us on SoundCloud as well, under Autastic Podcast, under both. Also, what was I going to say? Yeah, you can subscribe to both. Please leave us a comment if you haven't already. The comments really help. They really help just exponentially grow our podcast. We get a lot of letters from people each week saying how much this podcast has helped them. And that is really the only reason. If we get anything out of this podcast, that would be great. But to be quite honest, the main reason is to get awareness out there and to create a community. And please use our Facebook page as a message board. You can talk to each other on there. You please talk to us. Give
your
us
mom
suggestions.
Posted a picture of Peter on there. If you guys are interested, there's a picture of Peter enjoying beer on there. It's really great.
Yeah, he's eating steak and drinking beer. And I mean, if you've never seen pure joy before, you can go look at that picture.
Did I say beer or steak? I meant to say steak, and I said beer. That's Freudian.
It's both. I think he's got a beer and steak.
Yeah, but I meant to say. Go ahead.
Oh, you okay?
I meant to say steak, and I said beer.
Do you want a beer?
Apparently,
Kirk's had a rough morning. We're gonna go get drunk. Thanks very much, everybody.
Follow us on Twitter,
listening.
Instagram, all those things, and please rate review us. We're up to 70 reviews on iTunes, and we really appreciate each and every one. It really means a lot. Please subscribe and tell your friends.
That's the biggest one. You guys are great. We love you. Bye. Thank you.